It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street? A great awakening. Miracles and wonders are God's glory on display. A great dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. That nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
You're listening to BPN Radio. Very good Tuesday morning to everybody. Today, this is Michael Schomborn. I'm sitting in for Dale Gentry. Dale is taking off the rest of this week, spending time with his wife Jean, and you're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer radio station at this time, or any time around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America. Another spiritual awakening. Today we've got Carissa Turner. Carissa is a 17-year-old girl who shares her incredible story of seeing her father murder her mother and grandmother, but continues to walk in love and forgiveness. This is truly one of the most remarkable and inspiring stories you will ever hear. So stay tuned here at BPN Radio. And later on, there will be this interview with Dale Gentry and Carissa Turner. Stay tuned here for BPN Radio. We're going to start off with prayer, praying for the nation. And today is a very powerful subject. It's about forgiveness. We'll talk a little bit about forgiveness, and then we hand it over to Dale and Carissa Turner. Quite a moving story. I would not wish anybody to go through the things Carissa went through. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this day, this Tuesday. We want to surrender all things of this day and in this day to you. We want to proclaim you Lord over our lives, over this day, over the city where we are in. We want to ask you to forgive those who have sinned against you. Lord, we pray that you will help us to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have done evil to us, who have done wrong to us, those in our families, those who are near to us, those who promise to stay with us, till death do us part. We pray that you will help us to forgive. To just forgive. Lord, we pray that you will help us to open our hearts to you, to allow the spirit of forgiveness to flow through our being. We pray for our cities and the city where we are in right now, all the sins committed in the city. We pray that you will forgive. That you will forgive. That sins are covered, Lord Jesus, by your blood. God, that you can look upon us as holy and redeemed and washed clean people by the blood of the Lamb, washed clean. Lord, we come to you in repentance and repent over the things we have done wrong in our lives. We want to turn away from them. We want to turn to the way, to the narrow way you put in front of us. We want to leave the wide way, the broad way, and go in the narrow way, the way of holiness. We pray that you will help us, that you will guide us in our endeavors to follow you, to surrender our lives to you, to repent, to turn away from what is wrong to what is good in your sight. Lord, we pray that you will lead us in the way of righteousness. Lead us in the way of righteousness. Help us to understand your word and to receive a word from you, just from you to us individually. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness is powerful. It's very, very powerful. And as you will hear the story today by Carissa, I would encourage you to just embrace forgiveness more than anything else in your life, more than prosperity, more than convenience, more than so many other things which push themselves in front of our eyes, demand our attention. I want to encourage you to just take a stand and to be determined to forgive, to make a decision. It's not an emotion. It is not the way you feel. You may feel hurt. You may feel betrayed. You may feel deceived. But forgiveness is more than that. Forgiveness is a decision of the will, where you decide, I'm not holding this sin, this offense against me. I will not hold it up, and I will not hold it against the person who has committed the offense. As Christians, we are called to do this. Jesus has called us to forgive 70 times 7 a day if necessary. Why should we forgive? Because God has forgiven us. You may say, you know, what God has forgiven me is not that much, but what this person has done to me is an awful lot. But let me tell you, it's a question of perspective. God is infinitely righteous. Infinitely righteous. And he demands infinite righteousness. And so whether you sin a little or a lot, it doesn't really make a difference when you are talking, when you're dealing with infinity. So celebrate what has happened in your life, that your sins have been forgiven. And in the same way, forgive others who have sinned against you. Don't hold it against them. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Okay, we'll play a track. And I have to say, one of my favorite artists is Gottfried Bertel. And now this program, even though it's for America, comes from Britain. And Gottfried Bertel, who I know is well known in America as well, his home church is just down the corner from where this broadcast is coming from. And Lincoln is near Nottingham, so if you're not sure about this, if you ever read the story of Robin Hood and Sheriff of Nottingham and Lincoln, you know roughly where everything is located. It's all in the same area. It's just from where this broadcast is coming to you today. So Gottfried Bertel and the track's called When I Look at the Blood. Sounds all, if you're not a Christian and you hear this the first time, it sounds all very strange, but the Bible teaches us that through Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross and dying for us, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, we can receive forgiveness of our sins before God. We can meet in Jesus Christ the infinite demands of righteousness, to be infinitely righteous before God, white as snow. The Bible talks about our sins, that they are removed as far from us, as far as the east is from the west, infinitely far. And that gives us cause to jubilate, cause to triumph, cause to be grateful, and cause to rejoice in our Lord. Gottfried Bertel.
can't see competition. I can't see hierarchy. I can't see pride or prejudice or the abuse of authority. I can't see lust for power. I can't see manipulation. I can't see rage or anger or selfish ambition. When I look at the blood, all I see is love. Stupid fighting or bitterness or jealousy. I can't see empire building. I can't see self-importance. I can't see backstabbing or vanity or arrogance. When I look at the blood,
thank you. What's up, everybody? This is Carissa, and I'm making this video because God shared something with me last night that just makes sense for me to share with you guys. Something that I love to do is write. I write all the time, and last night God just really put something heavy on my heart, and it was about suicide. And with Lex Fest coming up this weekend, I mean, it just makes sense that I share it. And even God, I mean, everything that God told me kind of went along with the whole Ignite Your Light theme of Lex Fest. So I wrote this poem sort of thing about suicide last night. Or really, God wrote it. He just kind of gave it to me and blessed me with it. And now I'm going to share it with you guys. So here it is. Be blessed.
If I'm being honest, I've been exposed to self-hate since I was 6. I remember looking at my scars and thinking of all that my daddy did. He didn't love me, or at least that's the way he made it look. So I followed in his footsteps and hated myself for what he took. When I looked in the mirror, I only saw what people pointed out for me to see. And because this world's so cruel, I only saw the bad parts in me. I saw the scar on my right arm, the one I got for defending my mom when I was 8. I found myself so enraged, and at that moment it became too late. I decided to give myself some scars, and it wasn't up for debate. I felt so useless to the world, and my mind wasn't about to change. Suicide was where I was headed, because that's where the world wanted me to go. All the hate that people throw, all the hate that people show, is just leading to a decline of hope and a gradual grow of self-given death and teens out of control. There are people who say that suicide is selfish and full of pride, but obviously they don't know what it's like to cry so loud yet nobody hears, nobody even tries. Think about how many people look happy but are lying, because no matter how loud the world is deaf to their crying. Blind. This world is blind. We've let the world get dark when we were born to make it shine. We stand back and act like everything will be fine, but we're the only ones with power to bear fruit in this world, because we're the branches of the vine. We're the vessels of his love, and not just any kind of love, but the very love that comes from above. There's no reason why people should feel useless when God has a plan for them. There's no reason why people should feel depressed when God has his hands on them. There's no reason why people should feel defeated when God made a stand for them. The problem is that the world is too dark for them to see. They can't see that their battle has already been won and they have victory because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. We've been called to be God's hands and feet. We've been called to take the world and plant his seed. So if the world's too dark for the life, the truth, and the way to be seen, then it's past time for us to do something. When are we going to stand up and fight? Fight for all the people who feel like they're too far out of sight. The people who are contemplating their own life. People who are so lost in the world that they'd rather die than see another night. I've been exposed to the fact that the world has been convinced of a lie. The lie that says there's no end to the world's cry. Now is the time. I've already joined the spiritual fight. But it's time for you to join me in this dark world and ignite your light.
Okay, that's Carissa Turner, 18-year-old Carissa Turner. Incredible poem. And we have Carissa on the phone with us today. And I've known Carissa for several years. Welcome to BPN Radio on this Saturday, Carissa.
Thank you.
And why did you write that poem?
I wrote that poem just thinking about suicide, thinking about a personal thing that I went through with suicide, and just seeing the effect that it has on the whole entire world. Because it's so personal to me, I was able to really evaluate my writing about it. But what inspired it is the fact that it's happening all over the world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I understand that the I read yesterday the suicide rate is the highest it's been in 25 years. And I know that's a problem, particularly among young people. Of course, you represent that youth generation. Why did you want to commit suicide?
I wanted to commit suicide because I found myself completely hopeless. I grew up in a home that was super abusive. My father was abusive towards me and my brother and my mother especially, and just having to watch that just from being a young kid. The first time my dad ever laid hands on me, I was 6 years old, and it continued and continued until the time I was 12. But at the age of 8 was when I really started to feel self-hate, and I started to hate myself because I saw myself as nothing, because that's what I felt my father saw me as. So I just began to just hate myself and hurt myself, cutting myself at 8 years old, and which led to me wanting to die, because it felt like that was the only thing that would be right. The only thing that would feel right was if I wasn't here at all. And so I began to be suicidal. And honestly, suicide is not something that a lot of people will see it as something that you just get to a point where life is too much and then you just decide to kill yourself. But honestly, it's something that you struggle with for years and years, just waiting for someone to bring you hope, to give you hope, to love you, to comfort you. And I think I went through that time for quite a long time, just wanting someone to comfort me, wanting someone to love me. And then life got really bad. I ended up losing my mom. My father murdered my mom when I was 12 years old, and my grandmother right in front of me, when she tried to leave the abusive situation going on at home. And I had to watch the whole thing. And at that point, suicide became my reality. It was something that I wanted to do, something that I was going to do no matter what. And I wasn't, at that point, I had given up on the dream of hope or the dream of comfort. I'd given up on God, and I knew about God my whole life, but at that point, all the knowledge I had of God meant absolutely nothing. I just wanted a raw love, and that's something that I couldn't find. So I found myself just lost, ready to commit suicide. And around the same time, suicide started happening in my community. There were 6 to 7 deaths that same year. When it came to suicide, in one school that was literally right down the street from my house. So the spirit of suicide was already in my community. And so I was ready, completely ready to do it. And around the same time, I met a family that had lost their daughter to suicide. And from that, they came to the Lord, and they came to know a hope that was so incredible. They came to know a peace that truly surpassed all understanding. And just seeing them opened up my ears to what they had to say. And I got really close to the mother of the daughter who committed suicide. And just she just began to just pour out a love to me that I had never seen before. And it wasn't her love. It was the love of God. And once I was exposed to the love of God, I mean, he did the rest. He completely just filled me up with a peace that surpasses all understanding. I couldn't understand it, and he loved me, and he called me his own, and he called me beautiful. He called me worth life. He told me that I was worth it, and just feeling that completely changed my mind. It completely turned me around. So I wrote this poem just thinking about that, thinking about being completely lost and then being completely found in him. It completely turns your life around. And I want people to know that where they are when it comes to suicide and thinking about suicide, it's hard to see any tunnel of light, but there's light there. And it's important for us, you know, as people who know that there's a light, to tell people of the light, and not only that, but be the light. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a great poem. And I know that every 12 seconds that someone has taken their own life in America, and that is that's a national tragedy. And I also know that there's probably not very many young ladies that have gone through what you have gone through. I know that Satan was out to totally destroy you and your entire family, but I know that you've not allowed that to happen. You fought back. But seeing your father murder your mother and your grandmother, and and then your father being sent off to prison and being left in that environment, how did you overcome such incredible odds at such a young age?
Definitely only through God. Like I said, everything was super crazy. I was young. I was 12 years old whenever I saw my dad murder my mom and my grandmother. And then, you know, within that same year, I had to go through the court process where I had to testify against my father. He received a death penalty. So I lost him in a sense. And, I mean, like I said, it was stressful. It was hard. Suicidal thoughts were still there. I mean, all the odds were against me. But God came into my life, and just his love was so incredible towards me. And just as I began to seek him, ask him for help, come to him with a cry instead of just a praise, mm-hmm. he began to just love me and just meet me where I was. Mm-hmm. And he took care of everything. I can't really explain everything that he did, but he just loved me, and and that's what I needed. That's what a lot of people in this world need. They need that love from God, in order to see themselves the way that God has called us to see ourselves, in order to do the things that God has called us to do. God just freed me of the chains that were holding me. He completely just broke them, and he helped me run away from them mm-hmm. and find the light.
Yeah. Well, evidently God has given an incredible ministry to minister to young people, particularly who are suicidal. And what would you, I know I'm going to have you to pray in just a few moments, but what would you say to young people out there that's listening today that they just feel hopeless, helpless, and they have these suicidal thoughts? They maybe have already cut themselves or over-medicated themselves. And what is your message to these young people who feel like their life is hopeless and they can't go on?
My message to them, first and foremost, is to tell them that they are absolutely not alone. There are people all over the world who are going through the same things that they're going through. And I know that doesn't really bring comfort, but the comfort is that God sees it. They're not just the only one that's going through something, so God's not just pushing them to the side. God sees exactly what they're going through. He sees their pain. He sees them crying, and he wants to be there for them. And the thing about God is that he's given us our free will. So he's standing at a door and he's knocking. He's not just going to force himself in, but he's knocking on a door to come into your life and to take over your life, to love you, to guide you, to show you who you really are through him. So my message to them is to open that door. Give God a chance to just take over and just love you. And my message to them is just open that door. Give God the chance to be able to love you, because once you experience just a little bit of that love, I mean,
Well,
everything else disappears.
Absolutely. And I know one of the major ingredients is to be able to do that is to forgive. And how have you been able to forgive your father for what he did, taking the life of your mother you have neither parent to be in the home? How have you walked through forgiveness, Carissa? Have you done that?
Yes, I have. I've been able to forgive my father, and I completely forgive my father. And not only that, but I've been able to find love for my father. I love him, and I want to see him in heaven one day. And that's amazing to say. That's crazy to say. Something that seems impossible to say, but I'm proud to be able to say that. Forgiveness is something that's difficult, but it's something that has to be done in order for you to be freed from the slavery that the devil tries to put you in. And it's a hard thing to do, but how I was able to do it was once you experience God's love, once you become a Christian, a born-again Christian, the love of God becomes a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to give it to other people.
Yeah.
Loved people can love people. Free people, free people.
Yeah.
And so once you're able to experience that love and be able to find a place where you're able to give it and see what God has done for us, you know, mm-hmm. my story of forgiveness is amazing. It's incredible. But the story of forgiveness that really amazes me, that's really incredible, is the story of God, the story of Jesus, mm-hmm. when he literally died on a cross, was completely taken, his skin completely taken away, nailed to a cross,
mm-hmm.
Pulled himself up to say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
Yeah.
I know what I've done against God. I know the sins that I've made, and I see the sins that are being thrown around the world, and I just mm-hmm. think of a God dying for such a people as the yeah. people that are here on this earth, for dying for a world like this.
Yeah.
You know, I can love anyone. If God can love me, I can love anyone. And I can forgive anyone if God can forgive me.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, and I certainly agree with that. And I know that it can happen, even though many young people may be struggling with that. And what would you say to young people today that are living in a very abusive environment? Maybe they're being physically abused, maybe they're being sexually abused, and they're afraid to say anything, and they're living in what they would call that trapped situation, trapped environment. What would you say to them today?
I'd tell them definitely not to keep quiet anymore. Silence is definitely not the answer. I'm sharing my story, not because it's easy, but I'm sharing my story because I want people to know that they're not alone in domestic violence. Domestic violence is something that's definitely not talked about. Sexual abuse is something that's definitely not talked about enough, and people feel, I didn't even know what domestic violence was. I didn't know there was a word about what was going on in my life, you know, as a kid. But it's time people knew that there's, you know, there's a real thing that's going on, that they're not the only ones going through it. And silence is not the answer. Coming out and telling people, trusting the right people, though, is definitely the right thing to do. There's domestic violence phone number that you can call. Just look up that hotline. Call that number. You know, get help is definitely what I would tell them. But not only help from people who can get you out of the situation you're in, but call on God. Call on God for safety. Call on God for just, you know, him to just surround you. And so, yeah, call on God, but also get help
yeah.
from people.
Yeah. I believe there's a lot of ministries out there that young people can reach out to. I know that there's a family even in your area that lost their daughter to suicide, and they have an awareness ministry. I don't know if you want to share anything about that or not.
Yes, I'd love to. So this family lost their daughter a little 4 years ago, actually 4 years, and they were, at the time, living in the world, and when everything happened, they completely came to God. They were attracted to the hope of God, and God completely took over their lives, and you should see them now. It's amazing to see
wow.
The love that God has just poured into them, and now they're being able to give out. It's just an amazing transformation, and I'm very proud of them. I'm very close to them. They're like my second family,
okay.
and they started an awareness concert that they do once a year. It just passed. They have a Lexfest concert where they invite the whole entire community, anyone that really wants to come out, and they
mm-hmm.
have different concerts, have different ministries come out and mm-hmm. just pray with people and love on people and just let them know, not only bring awareness to the situation, but also bring a solution, which is Jesus Christ. And now they've launched a Lex Camp where they will have
mm-hmm.
coming up soon. And we'll take kids for a weekend and just love on them and be able to minister to them and share with them the love of Christ. And so that's amazing. If you follow them on LexFest, that's LexFest on Facebook, they'll be giving out all the information. You can come to Lex Camp, or you can just, even if you just need to talk to somebody, that family is an amazing family to talk to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You want to give us that that address on Facebook again?
Just look up LexFest, F-E-S-T, sorry, and just follow them on Facebook.
Okay. Okay, and if anybody wanted to learn more about your ministry or maybe an invitation to go speak somewhere, how would they, do you have a page that they could go to? A church address or anything that they may be able to contact you and say, would you come and speak at our church or speak at our group? Do you have any contact information, Carissa?
Right. You could get in contact with our church, which is Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. We have a Facebook page as well.
Okay.
You can just look us up. We have an online website that you can find a number and call. You can also email me. I have an email, which would be fine. That goes for anyone that just needs to talk or anyone who wants me to go speak somewhere. I mean, that'd be incredible. Both things would be incredible. So I'll give my email.
Okay.
Which is Carissa, so that's K-A-R-I-S-S-A, and then TRNR26@gmail.com.
Okay, you want to give that one more time?
Okay, that's KARISSATRNR26@gmail.com.
Okay. They can also get in touch with you by going to the website of Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. And, of course, your Uncle Darren Frank has been a wonderful young man in my life for many, many years. And I know that that church is a tremendous blessing of outreach. And I know you'd be a great blessing, Carissa, if anybody wanted to come and speak to your group, or if somebody wants to email, maybe they're contemplating suicide, something going on in their life. And so, wow, I know what's happening. It's happening all around us. And we need to be very alert, very aware. And I know that you have overcome major obstacles in your young life, just being 18 years old. And I would also encourage people to go to your Facebook there and be able to share your video. That's awesome. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. I've got 5,000 friends, and I'm going to share that. So why don't you just pray for these young people that may be contemplating suicide, maybe going through suicide. Maybe there are some parents listening today, like your friend's parents, that their child has already committed suicide, and they're in deep grief, self-blame, whatever it may be, condemnation may be going on in their lives. So however the Holy Spirit leads you, Carissa, you can pray before we go today.
Father God, I just want to thank you in advance, Father, for all that you've done for me. God, I want to give you all the glory and praise that all you've done for me, God, just taking me out of complete confusion, God, complete hate, God, and giving me such an amazing love. God, I just want to pray for the people that are going through what I've had to go through, God, or maybe not even to that extent, but are having to feel the things that I felt, God, the depression, the anxiety, God, the confusion, God. I pray that you just find them right where they are, God. You just wrap your arms around them, God, and just be their safe haven, God, and just love on them, God. Show them that your love is worth living for, God. Continue and continue and continue to move in this world, God. Continue and continue to move within the Christians of this world, God, that they'd be able to love people the way that you've loved us, God. I pray for the hopeless, God, to be able to find hope, to be able to see hope, to be able to see your light in the dark world that we live in, God. I just pray that you, for blessings to pour out upon the people that you've called to be your hands and feet, that they'd be able to just reach this world, God. I want to pray for the different ministries that are going against suicide, God, are going against domestic violence. I pray that you just bless them, God, and that you just continue to show them, God, what you would have them do. Again, I want to pray for the people who are suicidal, God, who have come to a place where there's absolutely no hope, that they'd rather die, God, than continue on here. Father, I pray right now, for you to fill their heads with thoughts of you and to completely shut out the voice of the enemy, God. The lies of the enemy have no more voice in this world, God. I declare that in your name. Father, I just pray for hope, a peace, a love, all of these things that surpass our understandings to find us where we are, God. Each and every one of us in this world, God, the teenagers, God, who don't have mothers and fathers who are there supporting them, or even the ones that do, Father, I pray that they find your support and your love in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their adversities, God. And just pray for your light to just resonate in this world. It's in your mighty name that I pray that. Amen.
Okay, Carissa, you are you're an awesome young lady. I knew your mother, and of course your grandmother was great friends of Gene and I. And so I'm so thankful that you have grown up to be a wonderful young lady, a beautiful young lady that's willing to get out there and share your story. And I just encourage anyone that is listening today to watch your video, and if they have an opportunity to contact you or maybe a church leader, youth group, to invite you to come and speak if possible. I know that you live in the Houston, Texas area. It's a big area. And I know the hand of God is upon you, and I'm really thankful that you have been on the broadcast today. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. And do you have a favorite song that I might play? I'm going to play a song here in just a moment when we finish the interview. You have a favorite song?
Probably my favorite song right now is Touch the Sky by Hillsong.
Touch the Sky by Hillsong. Okay, I'm going to play Touch the Sky by Hillsong. So great to have you on, Carissa. God bless you for being here today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Amazing interview there by Carissa, only 17 years old and yet having to face things like that in life. Inspirational. Big lesson to learn there from Carissa for all of us. Okay, let's talk a little bit about BPN Radio. BPN Radio, Breakout Prayer Network, and we are praying for America. We are seeking for a revival in America, and there are things you can do as well. You can get involved. And how can you get involved? First of all, you can go to the website at www.bpnradio.com, and maybe you would like to join us to pray, to become a prayer leader, to pray for the nation, to pray for a revival in America, to pray for America to turn around from the present course of dissipation, to course of holiness, to course of proclaiming the Word of God in schools and politics, in society, in the media, even in Hollywood. For the nation to be more concerned about seeking holiness than seeking economic success. For the nation more worried about seeking God than seeking gold. This is important, very, very important. Maybe you would like to join us. You can become a prayer leader. Just go to the website at www.bpnradio.com. Scroll down the page and you can register as a prayer leader on the website. What does it entail? It entails that you commit to pray with us regularly for America. Once a month, or near enough once a month, we'll have an online session where Dale will be leading prayer for America. He'll ask questions He'll answer questions, not ask questions. He'll answer questions. So it's like an online session. You can tune in. It's a live session. And as a prayer leader, you'll be invited. You and your team will be invited. How many people do you need as a prayer leader? Jesus says where there are two gathered in his name, there he is right there amongst them. Only two. Two is enough. Maybe it's you, your wife, your husband, your kids, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter. It's enough. You can register as a prayer center. You can do it privately so we don't publicize your data of where you pray. Or you can do it publicly as well. Maybe you can get your church involved. You can go to church. And maybe once a month or once a week, you get together with a bunch of people and you look at the needs of your city, the needs of your state, and the needs of the nation. And you pray. Commit the nation unto God. You commit your city unto God. You commit your state unto God. Seeking God's favor. Seeking God's guidance, God's protection, and God's direction. And God's will to be made manifest in your town, in your city, in your state, and in the United States of America. And talking about America, we've got a slight problem, and that is that there are actually a lot of listeners out there who tune into us from all over the world. And we want to welcome you as well, and obviously we don't want to exclude you. But we want to encourage you to pray for your nation. And let me just mention some of the nations which have tuned in recently to the website and also to to the stream, to the radio station. We've got the United Kingdom. Obviously, we've got the United States. You know, most of the people, so about 90% of the people, you know, tuning in there from America, from the United States of America. But there are also quite a few people from the United Kingdom. So all UK people, all English, Scottish, Irish, and Welsh, or I should say Northern Irish, welcome to BPN Radio. Then we've got Brazil. A lot of people are tuning in from Brazil as well, so welcome over there in Brazil. We know this God is doing some great stuff in Brazil. The whole nation is transforming. And Brazil is going through something, you know, America went through about 100 years ago, a massive revival. Lots of people turning to Christ. Lots of people turning to the living God. People turning to the Bible as the foundation of their lives. And then we've got Canada as well. Again, lots of listeners from Canada. Welcome, Canada. And then we've got other nations as well, which are very interesting, to say the least. We've got, recently, just tuning in is Italy and France. So welcome, Italy. Buongiorno. Welcome, France. Bonjour. We recently got access from Hong Kong. Argentina. Welcome, Argentina. I can't speak... Can't speak Spanish at all, so I don't know how you say in Spanish welcome. And Russia as well. Strasvodye. Strasvodye. Moi drug. I druzina. Turkey as well, tuning in. Chile, tuning in as well. Welcome, Chile. We've got Algeria as well. It's quite amazing, you know, Algeria, right there in Northern Africa. It's been through a bit of a rough patch recently. But welcome, Algeria, and welcome to tuning in here at BPN Radio. and Iceland, little island in the Atlantic, sandwiched between Greenland and the Scandinavian countries. Welcome, Iceland. And now some really obscure countries. We've got Mongolia as well. Mongolia is just north of China. Lots of Mongolia is a desert. Welcome, Mongolia. And the last country we're going to mention today is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Tuning in as well here at BPN Radio. Many people don't realize there are a lot of Christians living in Iran and in Iraq. To some extent, they are protected, but please pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran and Iraq. If somebody comes to Christ from an Islamic background,